माधव कुन्या विहार Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi jana vallava Giri varadani Giri varadani Gopi jana vallava Giri varadhani Yasoda nandana Raja Janathan Jana Yasoda Nandana Raja Janathan Jana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari
Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
One more time, everyone, but a little bit more louder and more focused, please.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
One more time, please, everybody.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare.
Jaya Gaura Nitaye, Gaura Nitaye, Gaura Nitaye, Jaya Gaura Nitaye. Jaya Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada, Go Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol, Hare Krishna. Before we start our lecture about living in two worlds, I want to say a good part of the audience is rehearsing for this amazing theatrical performance, which will have the quality of the Her Majesty the Royal Theatre, 100% the same level. So there are more actors involved than we thought. So this good portion is there. I will address you this morning with this subject matter, living in two worlds, because all of us will be leaving this retreat space. The machines are already roaring and howling, and this is the preview of London. Huh? What is it? Is it an air fighter? Wow. Near East politics? Britain's involvement in Near East politics, perhaps. So anyways, yes, the material world is already roaring out there, and we will enter this, and it is good if we have a little advice, a little inspirations, how we might be able to be fully alive in both of these worlds, our spiritual practices and our services, and our work and our life at home. The ideal, my dear devotees, is that these are not two worlds, but they all come in one. For that we might need to first practice to be good in two two understandings and lifestyles. Fine. So this is what we will be talking about. I request you to listen. I see some of you have note blocks ready. That might be a good idea. Let us just say our prayers before we start. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Bhaskaryare Satarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya center. I think we all acknowledge that this space is a nice space, but it needs to be extended, and just soon this wall can, I think, disappear, is it? And then there is a very light-filled, spacious place which can also be used for our retreat. So the workers make this possible, and therefore they are most welcome. Fine. I wanted to give you something substantial to take with you. I was really thinking, what can I say that is of importance to all of you? We have heard about Arjuna's journey and how he committed to Krishna, and in the first meeting, but how he needed to recommit at the beginning of the Kurukshetra war. And we heard this very beautiful narration from the Mahabharata, how Arjuna got something so valuable when he was willing to make an effort to gain Draupadi. We heard on the second day, please help me, yes, what are the obstacles, what is the difficulty in overcoming the laziness perhaps, there's laziness, there's distraction, what else is there? Indifference, which we sometimes have towards spiritual life, and kashaya, we sin, we do things which we regret later out of anger and so on. And finally, there is a taste for the mundane again, and that, and we brainstorm together what we might be able to do against it. Then the next thing was give 8 and get 108. I put a little in modern language the idea of by sharing Krishna consciousness you get something wonderful. And I was very happy about Keshava Maharaj's presentation. He said within this commitment to sharing Krishna consciousness, each one needs to find their authentic path. No? That was important. I also appreciated our Naveen Krishna Prabhu's presentations, and he was telling us, pointing us towards this circle that first there are hard times, and these bring about strong people, and then these strong people can bring good times. But if we are not careful, the good times make weak people, no? And then the result of this, weak people create very hard times with a lot of unnecessary agitations. Also our Nanda Gopa was telling us what we can develop as mentors, what qualities, and as mentees. I strongly recommend you to get his, you know, he needed to be fast, so there were 8 points on everything. I have a slide of that for myself, and yeah, and then we had kirtans, very nice kirtans, and this very helpful presentation of Christian. Do you remember that? That really, for some of us, it is the next level that we have to get in contact with our own inner voice. That is what it means to become authentic, to find out what is your path, you know, and to enter this inner dialogue. It was also very helpful. And I think we can thank Christian. He really put himself totally there into this presentation and gave many useful tips for us. Very, very useful. And so I was thinking, what can I possibly give after all these subjects that is of importance to you, which and what has not yet said? And yes, I want to give tips how to live in the two worlds, you know, the world of Krishna consciousness and your professional life and so on, so that ultimately you always live in Krishna consciousness. And I ordered the British Air Force to come so that they make the sound background for material world. We will soon go there. Good. Are you now with me?
Yes.
Good. The first point I would like to raise is that when we have such a retreat, a great inspiration is given to us, not only by the presentations, but by the many discussions that go on in the corridors, in the pink room, for some of you in the swimming pool or the sauna, where we get new perspectives. But all this good advice which we get might not help us. There is a verse, I only know it as a Shubhashitam verse. I took it from this devotee, Shubha Vilas. He has written a book on friendships. And there I found this verse, which we will read together. No amount of good advice can change the nature of a person. This is what this text says. Svabhavo nopadeshena shakyate kritumanyatan. Just like water when heated returns to its original temperature in some time, even if a person changes his behavior when advised by others, he will soon return to his intrinsic nature. What this says is that it's very difficult to advise a person. For instance, yesterday we advised a Madanga player to not play aggressively, to not play loud. And the third advice was to not drag behind, but and not to run before the kirtan, but to be with it. This was good advice, which is precious. Now, if the Madanga player doesn't do anything, then soon, perhaps in one or two kirtans, he will again play too loud, again too aggressive, again too slow or too fast. This is what the verse says. No amount of good advice can help someone, just like heating up water cannot help the water. It will come back to its cool temperature after some time. This is the problem which I think all of us have faced. We have been in spiritual situations. We have been under the training of our spiritual masters, and we might have seen that if we were not careful, we returned back to the old version of ourselves. This is a danger in spiritual life, and I think our movement has experienced this very much. Our Naveen Krishna Prabhu pointed out why this could be, you know, by bringing the circle to our attention. Having seen this, our acharyas, I would like to especially mention Bhaktivinod Thakur and also Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but especially Srila Prabhupada, saw the need that we do something to help that once we have to help our nature to remain elevated for all the time. That is the ideal, but for a good amount of time. And for this, my dear devotees, Bhaktivinoda Thakur spoke of four types of cultivation. You need to cultivate the spirit on an ongoing basis. You need to also do something for the body, because if the body is ill and sluggish and heavy, you will not be able to do sadhana. You need something to cultivate your mind, and you need something to cultivate your relationships. If you are slacking in one of these areas, pain will come there, and as a result of pain, problems arise. I often find myself in a situation, also here, where devotees come to me and say that and explain their suffering, which came because something went wrong in their relationships, in marriage, in friendships, and whatever. I often find myself also in situations where devotees come and say, Maharaj, our spiritual
life, our chanting of the holy names is good when we are here. We come to the japa sessions, but when we are at home, it is there's a lot of room for improvement, no? So we need to look at this, how we can do these cultivations. And it is us and only us alone who can do this. Because the problem is not out there, the problem is in here. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked on a morning walk, I think I told this already, Prabhupada, what is a devotee's greatest enemy? And he answered in his direct wisdom, he himself is his greatest enemy, or she herself is her greatest enemy. You become your friend, he said like this. You must become your friend. Nobody is an enemy. No, so he was talking about here about the inner, the mental cultivation, which is so important. Yesterday, our Keshava Maharaj pointed out that to become our authentic self, we need to operate on two levels, not one. There is the Sanatana Dharma, our eternal cultivation in relationship to Krishna, and then there is the Svadharma, the cultivation which we do in relationship to our body, mind, and the society around us. Vinay has put for us the two verses which Maharaj quoted in. First, the one of the human cultivation which is necessary. Please repeat after me. It will be very nice to repeat some Sanskrit as the air flies. Shreyam Svadharma Vigunam.
Shreyam Svadharma Vigunam.
Paradamat Svanushtita.
Paradamat Svanushtita.
Svabhavaniyatam Kama. Kovam napnoti kirbisham. This is one of the two verses that Krishna speaks twice in the Bhagavad Gita. An identical verse you can find in the third chapter. He repeats two verses because these two verses are very, very important. Otherwise, Krishna never repeats himself. It is amazing. So this is what it is. It is better to engage in one's own occupation, your own dharma. He speaks of svadharma. Can you see it up there? Svadharma. The sva means one's own dharma, which relates here to what we have to do as human beings with our body, mind, and in relationship to others. So it's better to engage in one's own dharma, even though one may perform it imperfectly, than to accept another's dharma or occupation and perform it perfectly. Prescribed duties according to one's nature are never affected by sinful reactions. Krishna makes the point, if you have something to do, some responsibility, some dharma, you must do it even if you are not yet perfectly perfect in this, no problem, you stay with it, because as Christian told us at the end, practice makes a master. Übung macht den Meister, we say in German language. I hope it's Or practice makes perfect. So if you do something repeatedly and try to become better and better and better, you will do this. And there is, you don't have to be afraid. There will be no negative karma in you. Just stay on your track. Don't go on someone else's track. Do what you are supposed to do in your life. No? So he repeats this twice. It is important. And then other verse, it is known. I want to find it. Please help me. It's 1860. Yes, here it is. Please repeat. Man mana bhava mat bhakto. Matyaji mang namaskuru.
Matyaji mang namaskuru.
Mame vaishyasi satyam te.
Mame vaishyasi satyam te.
Pratijane priyosime.
Pratijane priyosime.
Now Krishna will speak about what we should do. He has dealt with Svadharma, what we do with our body, mind, and in relationship to society. Now he will say what we should do in relationship to him. Always think of me, he says, and become my devotee, Francis. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. If you do these four things, what was it? Thinking of Krishna, becoming my devotee means to do service for him. No? Devotee is a servant of the Lord. Worship Krishna, Achana, Puja, this. And what was the last thing? Offer homage. This means obeisances. Namaskuru means really Namaskar, Namaskuru, offer your obeisances. Get down, mister, on your knees. Yes. Thus you will come to me without fail. Now listen to what he says. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. My very dear friend. Priya. Priya. Very, very Priya, you are very dear to me. So these are, here you find the Shastric foundation for the tree of life. That is my own application of these verses. If you live in this world and you will need to know there's a law of deterioration. This house, when you don't take care of it, it will deteriorate, it will break. Here, this will break. Your body, if you do not take care of it, there will be unwelcome smells coming from the body and staying with you. If you don't take care of your nails, then, oops, my nails, I forgot. You need to cut your nails from time to time, Sachinandan Swami. There will always, there's this law of, you know, things will become less in this world if you don't take some interest in cultivating this. The Tree of Life model has been introduced here in England many years ago, and but I not yet 100% convinced that every one of you lives the Tree of Life, and therefore want to again repeat what it is. There is a spiritual dimension to the Tree of Life model. Just like a tree is dependent on its roots for growth, in the same way your continuous growth is dependent on your spiritual practice. Just like a tree has a trunk, you also have something that is visible to the world. The roots, that is what you do spiritually, is visible to Krishna only and to your spiritual master if he puts his mind on it to find out if you're still practicing it. But no one else will know it, what you do. The world will not see it. But what the world sees is your body and your mind. Just like you see the trunk and the bark. Bark? Do you know what is bark around? That is visible. It's all right, you can't see it anyways. There needs to be something you do for your body on a regular platform, otherwise you become too fat, and there's no problem to look fat, but if you, I mean, who cares, we all, but if you are too fat and too, the digestion will not work, the metabolism will not work, you're really creating problems for your physical existence. Also, you need to have something for your mind. Mental care is necessary. The World Health Organization says that mental challenges will be the growing and growing and growing in this terribly busy world. Also, this busy ISKCON has also become very busy. Values like competition, like trying to be the best, is also there in our society. We are not 100% immune to the material influences around us. So you need to do something for your physical and your mental well-being, and then social cultivation. And I have a few suggestions for you to make. I will not do so many because 3 points for each is good enough for starting. First of all, read wisdom teachings and apply them. It is so important. Do you remember how our Vrajananda told us when he wanted to do public service in the world of the politicians, then this very good coach said to him, you have to read 3 hours a day. Do you remember? Because then he will expand his horizon, he will learn to think, he will learn to approach the subject from various angles, and so on. So in your spiritual cultivation, it's also important to read wisdom teachings and learn to apply them. The second suggestions, you can make photos, or I always think it's this, you make so many photos on the mobile phone and may not see, look at them again. So good to make sometimes handwritten notes, no problem with that. Find spiritually uplifting association that can fan your flames. Prabhupada said in Krishna consciousness, we all come into an association of others, and we should have association where our spark, our inner enthusiasm is getting new nourishment and it becomes a flame. Some association does do this more than other associations. So find spiritually uplifting association that can fan your flames. That's a poetic expression. Prabhupada would say, can fan your spark. That's the same thing. Best if it can be in person, but otherwise, if you just can't meet these special people in your life, you can phone them or do it online. Now I have seen there is this FaceTime, you must be knowing. You can see the person and FaceTime with the person. Why not? And third is choose a spiritual practice that enthuses and resonates with you. So you can perform it daily. Even a short but mindful practice done daily and steadily over time will take you a long way. My dear devotees, I told this morning to the devotees who were in the guided japa thing is, you will stay with chanting Hare Krishna on your beads for the rest of your life. You know, at the time of initiation, we are giving our sacred promises, you know, and this means 2 hours a day you will stay with one practice. So you better make it a very enlivening practice. Imagine if you stay every day for 2 hours with some association which you don't like. What will that do for you? Or if you do something where you have to force yourself, oh no, now again my rounds, oh, you know, it's so dry and so on. You will, why not find out how to make it work? You are a unique personality. There will be a unique approach which is good for you, which you look forward. Sometimes some of us who have not given vows, but who accept the need of the holy name, say, I'm not a japa man, but what I am is I'm a kirtan man. I find my nice tunes, I will have, correct me that I get the right word, my playlist. And I'm knowing also modern life. And I sing along with Gaur Krishna, he's on my playlist. And Janavi Harrison is on my playlist. And who else is on my playlist? Radhika Ranjan is on my playlist, you know. And I will sing along here. No, I love Abhishek's kid. No, what is it? Ambarish's kid. You know, anyone, you know. So then make that your practice. But you need to find something that enthuses and resonates with you. These forceful things will not work. They will be like water. You force, like you heat. But after some time, boom, it's again cold. No, you need to find this. If you want to be initiated and you will give these, you know, every tradition has certain initiation vows, then yes, then you have to find out how to make your japa work so that you have 16 ecstatic rounds to which you look forward. And my dear devotees, please believe me, I will now not speak to you as the Swami from mainland Europe, but as just a person like you also are. I also know that sometimes japa is not coming easy. Now I know this, that sometimes life is so busy and then you have to sit down and chant your 16 rounds. I know it is not easy from my own experience. But I also know that there are certain things you can do to make it easy. Because I found out if I chant for 2 hours every day, I better find out how to make this easy and enjoyable is perhaps not the word we would use here, but an ecstatic devotional practice. So there are things you can do. It's really tragic when devotees struggle with their japa. Why is it tragic? Because there are things they can do about it to make it a blissful practice. Good. So this is for spiritual cultivation. Now let's go to physical cultivation. How do you like this photo? Here's a very amazing sadhu. He gets up every morning at 2 o'clock and does a Govardhan Parikram, sometimes two a day. He's just absolutely absorbed in spiritual life. And I really have not seen him smiling very often, because when he is on the streets, he is really focused, you know. It doesn't look left and right. He just... I once asked him, what is your advice for chanting? This person lives only on food which he begs. He will not, usually he does not, at least I don't know that he will accept money, you know. And he told me through a dolmetscher, I cannot speak Hindi, or perhaps he speaks Bengali, I don't even know. When I chant, I just think that Krishna is just nearby and listens, and I know of no better practice than doing that. That's his secret. He chants Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He chants into Krishna's ear. And he does a little yoga, because he has understood, I need some bodily cultivation. So the first bodily cultivation, according to Prabhupada, is cleanliness. Your mind will be so good if you take showers. Christian might be able to tell you what is the best way to take a shower. I only know first hot, then everything goes on, and in the end, make sure you do cold, because then the pores are pulling together and it's good for the whole body, and so on. Anyways, I don't want to talk about here about taking showers. Then regular exercises. If you do not like yoga, if you do not like fitness, if you do not like, no problem. For this Prabhupada, he said, dancing ecstatically. Then you should dance like anything, but for Krishna, no? But you need to move the body, otherwise you will have many exercises, many problems. And the third thing, which is very good for physical cultivation, is to engage your senses in the service of Krishna. To sweep with your hands, to carry pots to the and serve prasadam, to go to the Bhaktivedanta manor. There's always a lot of physical service on the grounds to be done. This is also physical cultivation for a spiritual person. In old times, the monks would do gardening to bring their food. They knew I have to engage also in my body totally, and so on. Then mental cultivation. Now I will stop here for a moment. What does my esteemed audience know about cultivating the mind? What is good for your mind? Yes?
Intellectual stimulation.
Intellectual stimulation. Mm-hmm. What would you do, recommend practically? What stimulates you?
Be specific.
Yeah?
Like something technical. Like my background is like IT, so thinking about something very technical or complicated and complex.
And figure it out and figure solutions. So. This whole world has totally passed me, but I acknowledge the value of it, yes. No idea. Don't even know how to use it. Listen, there are people in this living amongst you who wouldn't know how to make a phone call on the how to switch the thing on, you know, and how to get the... Yes. Yes, what you can do for mental cultivation, that you feel better, more positive.
Revealing one's mind in confidence.
Yeah, and good discussions and hearing new perspectives. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Yes?
Journaling,
like Keshava Maharaj. Do you do this?
I try to.
If you have difficulties in journaling, I have also not yet discovered this. I write, but I'm not journaling. I found out writing letters, meaningful letters, where you really think about to share something of importance is good. Prabhupada also said we should write regularly. It brings out our realizations. Mm-hmm. Our Matajis, yes?
No, just reading books really helps me.
Reading books? What type of books?
Some Shastra now.
Shastra? Mm-hmm. Yes? Yes?
Just the way you speak to yourself internally, internal dialogue?
Internal dialogue? Oh. Wonderful. How do you do? Is it like a certain subject is like Christian presented yesterday, or how do you do?
Yeah, similar. So when you find yourself in certain situations throughout the day, how you speak to yourself kind of helps you to react.
Wonderful. That we heard yesterday. Wonderful. I also do a lot of this. I see myself, for instance, reacting, or I feel ill at ease with something, then I said, why do you feel ill at ease? Why do you react like this? Oops. And you know, if you yourself ask, then there's no time for cheating. I mean, some of us can cheat ourselves even inside, I know. But normal people, you have to... Why? Yes. What does this have to do with you, Satchinandan Swami? There are so many things which do not disturb you. Why do you resonate to this situation? It must be because it has something to do with you. And yes, internal. There was another, yes. Your good name again, I knew it once, please tell me. Anuradha Sakhi, yes.
Being in nature, exposing one's mind to the elements, being connecting with nature, and the mode of goodness, something bigger than one's own mind.
Wonderful, wonderful, yes. Being in nature, yes. So much to learn, especially Anuradha Sakhi. Especially when you are in nature, let nature speak to you. This practice we find in the 11th canto of the Bhagavata, where the Avadhuta Brahmana learns from rivers, from the sun, from the elements, from earth. You will find, if you become a little bit more sensitive, you will find the nature is very good instructor, actually. Mm-hmm. I would like to, yes, everything I heard is wonderful. I want to say three things which are a little out of the box. They will make you think. First of all, find your purpose. When you have a sense of purpose, that is very good for the mind. It's something like which gives you orientation in life. If you are clear that my purpose in this life is to help others, for instance, grow, that is my personal purpose. You will always, even in weak moments, know what to do. Or if you think, my purpose in life is to build communities. You will, even when you have your weak moments and you don't know where you're going, well, okay, I'm a community builder. Find your particular purpose. That will anchor your mind, even when it is going up and down, or you know, and so on. This, your sense of purpose in this life, very important. Second, my dear devotees, having friendly exchanges and giving support to others. Our one devotee has told us he finds great stability of mind when he reveals his mind in confidence. I hope you do it. I hope you have someone in your life where you're not afraid to do this. See, what I see a lot in Pandavasenas, we repeat the words that we hear, but we may not always be able to translate this in our life. I hope every one of you finds devotees, friends, with whom you can have deep exchanges, where you can reveal your mind in confidence, who are interested to hear you out, where you don't have to be always super good and enthusiastic, where you can also say, I'm a little under the weather, and if I'm honest, yesterday my day was just 2 centimeters before hell, you know, and so on. What did you do? Will the friend say, can I tell you? But you won't tell it to my mentor? No, come on, we are friends. And then he will, you know, this is very important. You feel so relieved if you can let go of the steam which accumulates. And similarly, you feel very, very useful in life if you can give support to others. Even if this means you just listen to them and don't talk to others about it. No? And the third mental cultivation which I have listed here is something which I have noted, which boycotts many devotees. This negative self-talk. So stop negative self-talk. Oh, you can't make it. Oh, you are good for nothing. Oh, you are embarrassment. Do you know the boxer? And he's quite wise. Muhammad Ali, have you heard? His verses. What he used to say is to his enemies, every time you open your mouth, you should be arrested for air pollution. Sometimes we say these things to us, you know. Oh, you will never do make it nice. You are so I'm such an introvert, you know. And such a this and that, and we boycott ourselves, as Prabhupada says, we are our own greatest enemy, you know. So stop negative self-talk, and that you can do when you read the scriptures, and you read, and you understand your opportunities and possibilities, these wisdom texts. No? Good. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Good. We are almost finished, by the way. Social cultivation. Commit to compassion in thoughts, words, and actions. My dear devotees, if you understand the value of compassion, or you understand the Dharma of compassion, being compassionate to others, you will actually be very helpful. People will not, you don't need to run after people. People will come running to you. Be compassionate in thoughts. It means don't be so judgmental. When you see someone who is not your cup of tea, so to say, or who's different, don't judge them immediately. Be compassionate. He sees it like this, he can't see it in a different way. Be compassionate in words. Talk good about people, or compassionately. I learned this from one of my godbrothers. There was one of my godbrothers who did something really impossible, which you, it was really an embarrassment for himself and for, and the devotee said, and this was brought to the attention of another godbrother. And you know how the saintly godbrother of mine reacted. He said, most probably he had a traumatic childhood, and therefore he was now so, so, I don't know how to say like this, you know. So practice compassion also in your words. Does mean you you agree with something which is wrong, but you are not biting the person, and so on. And be compassionate in action. You need to train it. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I still remember this very clearly. I read it a few times. When these beggars came to the, how do you call this, the yatra, the party, you know, the devotees who were going in on pilgrimage, you know, then the beggars of the Dham came and wanted to ask donations. So the devotees didn't give them donations, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, no, you should give charity. Do you know, Krishna himself says there are three things which should never be given up by anyone. The first is yajna, a sacrifice, a puja for Krishna. The next is austerity, that you do something which your lazy mind does not like, but you do some austerities because this makes you strong, as Naveen has shown us in his presentation. Austerities should never be given up. Even in old age, you have to keep austerities. Even when you are so rich that you don't have to move even one finger. If you don't do austerities, you will become weak in character and weak in body. So it must be given, it should never be given up. And charity. Charity, if you have no money, no problem at all. You can give your time and charity to someone, you can hear them out, and so on. This being there for others and for others' benefit. Krishna says, these three things should never be given up. It means they should be done when you are brahmachari, when you are grihastha, when you are vanaprastha, when you are sannyasi. Always have these three things in your life. Some yajna, some tapa, and some dana. Dana means charity. That makes you a good person in this world. Then, second point I have here is participate in projects that make a positive difference in your community and in your world. In the world, no? Some project that makes a positive difference. It's not difficult to do this in Pandavasena. This is our community here. There are many projects where you can involve yourself personally. I liked yesterday, I don't know who it was, but the name which we have here is, this Lincoln Center, that is where people work and don't get paid. Yes. You should also have a project where you should say to the taxi driver, where you can make a positive difference in your community and in the world, and don't expect things in return. It's good for you. It's good for your social cultivation. And the third point I have here is choose love. Be thoughtful of others and bring respect to your practical dealings. You know, when you deal, when you counsel others, choose to be thoughtful and to be respectful and helpful. If you are having an exchange with a person on the street, choose love, you know, choose the empowering contribution. I was very impressed, perhaps I told you, but I was so impressed. I was called by the police and I was a little anxious because you never know what they, what someone maybe has said this, Sachinandan Swami, he eats children, and so on. So I didn't know why the police had visited me. They were, it was not so bad, they were just looking for someone who had driven too fast on the autobahn, you know, and they wanted to know if I know the person, because they sent some notification to the person, but the person never answered back, and they showed me the photo, and I had never seen the person, so I said, no, I'm sorry, I can't help you. And I said, may I ask you, what's your motivation to be a police person? And the person said, it had been a very, it was actually a lady police lady, you know, with handcuffs and with armor, you know, heavy steel protection all around, and guns, I mean pistols and handcuffs and gas and so on. It was a full dress, you know, police dress. And I said, what made you choose to be a police lady? And she said, this very intelligent person, it was from the university, said, I want to do good for others. And I know if the human beings have no rules, they will just hurt each other more. So I take care of this. I cannot do so much. She had heard about me and followed me on Instagram. I can't do so much as you do. I do little. But I can do a little, so let me do as a police lady. And I thought, wow, this person had found her purpose in life, and so on. Yes, and was very respectful and very nice. Pleasure to talk with, although when the police comes before your door and they are fully armed, you always think, my God, what is wrong, you know. Anyways, so my dear devotees, I want to end here. I have no drawing here. Tree of life. Tree of life means what type of cultivation? Huh? First, physical, are we the body? No, we are not the body. So what is the first cultivation? Spiritual, acha. You believe in our philosophy? Not really, it has not yet entered the dormant intelligence sometimes. So spiritual cultivation. Second cultivation, you were right, you could, physical, then mental, then social. The three ones, physical, mental, and social, they are what type of dharma? Svadharma. The spiritual cultivation is what type of dharma? Sanatana dharma. Very good. There are two verses which tell you the difference between these. These two verses are repeated twice in the Gita. Our Vinaya will show us. You can write down the numbers if you want to read the purpose. And this will, why is this important? Vinaya, please go to the second slide. Yeah, one more back. Yes, no. Yes, here. Because if you only heat the water one time, it will become cold. If you want the water to be hot, you need to always do it. This one-time advice will not help you. No amount of, and even two or three types of advice will not help you. Did you, there is some truth in this, no? No, yes, middle. No amount of good advice can change the nature of a person. Just like water when heated returns to its original temperature in some time. I've seen this with my disciples. Whew, you put them so much energy into them, heat, and they become very active and so on, and then vroom, they go back to the cool, cold, cool is good, but cold is not so good state. Because they need to learn, everyone needs to learn, no matter how wisely others advise you on improving yourself, no matter how many books on self-improvement you read, no matter how many lectures you hear, no matter how often your mentor talks to you, no matter how many videos you look about inspiring lectures and so on, the onus, that means the task of bringing about a change in yourself, rests solely and entirely on you. No one in the world can help you unless you decide to help yourself. Even the most advanced spiritualist, Prabhupada, he told us always, when will you ever, act upon this, So this is, this type of, four types of cultivation will help you to be in a healthy position, in a good position, from where you can really take up your spiritual life and your commitment and recommitment in all seriousness. This is what I wanted to say. Have you understood? It is simple, yes, but I like very simple things where you can say, yes, I understand it. It is, yes, yes, yes. These verses, they are telling all this to us. So now, I'm sorry, I'm a little tired. I hope my mind was not too confused. We have 10 more minutes. Let us see if there is anything. By the way, there are a few schools who run this program Tree of Life because it's open to so many details according to time, place and circumstances. It is a very open and free model. It's so obvious. It's nothing very twisted and so on. Yes, there is one devotee. I see you and I see our young devotee, Krishna and our Matatis. I see one Matati. Yes. Yes, please.
Thank you very much. So sometimes despite our best efforts, we may have physical health diseases, mental health issues, relationship issues, and this is despite our best intentions. So this may be due to karma. So is it still possible to succeed in spiritual life if because of our karma, despite our best efforts, we are lacking in the other three aspects?
No, it's not possible when you try it on your own strength. To make profound changes is possible by the mercy of Krishna. If we are just totally only on our own strengths. We cannot go beyond certain limitations with which we are born. Therefore, if you find yourself in a situation where you know, I tried so often and I could not attain any permanent change, know that this is something you can't change on your own. There are many things you can change, which are, let me use a good English word, which are within your range or your scope of possibilities. But the bigger things, the heavy limitations by karma, you require some extra strength. Krishna consciousness is one reason why I'm so absolutely enthusiastic. There are many reasons. If I would tell you why I'm so enthusiastic, you wouldn't believe it. It has to do with things I don't talk about in public. But one reason I can talk about in public is I have seen with my own eyes in my own life that there are changes which happened in my life which are not possible because of myself. I have seen, for instance, that astrological foretellings did not work in my case, you know. I was beyond the foretelling of astrology. Perhaps Christian would say, because you didn't have a good astrologer. I'm convinced my karma has changed. I have seen myself in very, very bad health situations where doctors told me, you might die this night. And I was not dead. I can even dance nicely if I want. You know. I'm convinced that by Krishna's strength, things are possible. It says so in our scriptures, by the mercy of Krishna, and it also says by the mercy of the Guru, a blind man can see the stars in the sky. Impossible, you would say. No? Possible with divine help. A lame man can cross mountains, and a fool can also speak. Mm-hmm. But alone, we are limited. Believe me, when you get older, you notice. Yes. What was your good name? Just
Yash.
Yash. Oh yes, it means fame, I think, isn't it? So, yes, in English. And your name?
Mukunda
Hari Prabhu. Yes. Please say.
Maharaj, on social cultivation point, and you mentioned this yesterday when you were talking about compassion, etc. as well. There's often an expectation from those who are seniors to do that for their peers and juniors in terms of being more compassionate, more loving, caring towards them, giving them feedback, etc. But I was just wondering if there's a case for that in the reverse order as well, in terms of upward compassion, because sometimes we just expect so much from people above us, but we don't do enough to be caring, compassionate, loving towards them.
Yes, some upward compassion. I got upward compassion yesterday when a devotee said, you can go to bed now, Maharaj. I felt, oh, I said, you're the first one who is compassionate towards me on this retreat. There are also others who cook so nicely. I got an opera cake. You know, yes, show some mercy to the older people. You know, the young people. Let me carry your stuff. You know, you can start there, and or you can be considerate. That perhaps they are tired. You may go into your room now. Yes. Also other compassion. It's very interesting. Bhakti Charu Maharaj. You know, in Prabhupada's personality, he was really He is a multifaceted personality. He would, for instance, say in all earnestness to some of his disciples, they should pray for him. And the devotees would say, but I don't think it will work if we pray. And he said, no, you are devotees. Oh, there was one thing. Yes, Bhakti Charu Maharaj remembers that once Prabhupada wanted orange juice, and it took Bhakti Charu Maharaj a long time to find orange juice. There were no oranges in the kitchen and not on the market. And finally, he came with his orange juice to offer it to Prabhupada, perhaps an hour later than Prabhupada requested. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, keep your orange juice. Then after some time, Bhakti Charu Maharaj was broken. He had offered this with so much love, and he knew it was in Prabhupada's last months with us that Prabhupada really needed to take liquids and so on, and he failed. Prabhupada then did his alarm, dun, 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 and he heard that Bhakti Charu Maharaj was in the servant quarters. He thought, oh no, Prabhupada is calling again. Hopefully I can now take care of him nicely. So he came, trembling, and Prabhupada looked at him with such a soft, gentle expression and said, you see, in old age, one, the temper is a little short sometimes. Please excuse me. He said. So sometimes we have seniors will also maybe sometimes be a little short-tempered. It can happen and make mistakes. They may not hear us out, or when we ask them a question, they may not understand, or may answer a different question than was put to them, or they may forget a verse or a point or whatever. And then we are compassionate towards them. And little elderly. Tika. Hare Krishna. So yes, I want to learn the drashti or drashta?
Drashti. Thank you. Thank you so much for your presence. Just a question on this Shivashitam verse. When we speak about our nature, all of us have like very individual natures, and as we may understand that our nature builds up from multiple lifetimes as well, and so we can try and understand our nature in this lifetime and try and kind of, you know, peel the layers and understand where we may be going wrong and what we can do to improve. But what do we do about certain kind of aspects of our nature that come up suddenly out of nowhere, because they probably are from previous lifetimes and we don't quite understand them, which is why sometimes I do feel personally that they do come in the way of sadhana, maintaining discipline within spiritual practices. So yeah, how can we kind of tackle that beyond the
Yeah, there is an expression for this, which I do not, I forgot the Sanskrit, but these are sudden impressions that become released from the subconscious mind and come into the conscious mind. It happens during japa a lot. Boom, you see, what? it comes from the subconscious mind, where the impressions not only of this lifetime are stored, but of previous lifetimes. Yeah, don't take it so serious, I would say. When something wild comes up, my mind produced something wild, but I'm not, I'm different. You have to learn to not take your mind so serious, even if these old things come. I feel my time, I'm not so late, that we have a very exciting program, and therefore it's important for us to end the session in time. We are now in time. I thank you very much. There will be Harsh, who will direct us about the some technical informations, perhaps, and then the next program. Yes, Hare Krishna, Harsh.
Hare Krishna, can we please have a huge round of applause for this wonderful Sachchidananda Swami? Thank you so much, Maharaj, for this was actually the final morning class with Sachchidananda Maharaj. So yeah, thank you so much for the wonderful class.
Yeah. Vinay, please take another slide because this is disencouraging. Yeah, this is good. Yes. Because we can change something when we put these four kinds of cultivations there, no? Yes.
I thought I'd do a quick summary of the class. So, as the mentorship trip comes to an end, looking back, I see we had so many sessions to attend. The japa session, I managed to go to twice, and I spoke with many devotees who gave lots of good advice. But Maharaj explains, no amount of good advice can change one's heart. Just like boiling water goes back to cold, like the start. Instead, we need to focus on the four types of cultivation of the body, mind, spirit, and also our relations. For spiritual cultivation, we can read wisdom that we can apply, or find uplifting association that fans our flames and helps us fly. Or why not choose a spiritual practice we can enjoy and can do every day? Even something small done consistently will go a long way. Remember not to neglect your physical cultivation. Bad fragrances can be solved by good sanitation. Take regular showers, use whatever soap you can find. Not only your body will be clean, but also your mind. Do regular exercise, why not try some cycling or yoga, and engage your senses for Krishna. Maybe you can carry the boga. For cultivation of the mind, we must have a strong sense of purpose, and we can reveal our mind to others when feeling a bit nervous. And know that negative self-talk is never the solution. You might find yourself in ULIS charge for strong air pollution. For social cultivation, be compassionate in every thought, word, and action, and take part in a PS project where you find some attraction. The trip now comes to a close, how quick time can pass. So much knowledge to digest in Maharaj's final class. A big thank you to Maharaj for sharing your unlimited mercy and wisdom, pushing us to commit the life to Krishna and go back to the spiritual kingdom. His Holiness Sachchidananda Swami Maharaj Ki!
Harsha Babu's exquisite poetry Ki!